Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today, we're looking at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 as we study how to keep truth. Here's Paul Chappell.
There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that has always struck my heart very deeply, and I want you to notice it in your notes this morning. Proverbs 6:16. Look at what it says. These six things doth the Lord, and what does the next word say? Hate. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In our text this morning in verse 16, we read where the ninth commandment of God instructed the children of Israel and instructs us today, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that God hates what is referred to here as a lying tongue, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Now we may wonder, why the strong language? Why is God so determined in His mentioning of His hatred of the lying tongue and the sowing of discord? And I believe that one of the reasons God hates these sins is because of the fact that God is truth. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, which God that cannot lie hath promised before the world began. God is truth. In Him we know all things, and through Him we understand the truth of this life and of the life to come. And so while the ninth commandment speaks against perjury, it moves way beyond the courtroom, and it comes into the everyday life of a Christian at home, at work, at church, wherever we might be. God is a God of truth, and He calls His children to be people of truth. Now I want you to notice as we study this subject this morning, keeping the truth, I want you to notice in the first place the plot against the truth. I want you to know that since God is truth, that there has been from the beginning of time a plot against the truth of God. One author said this, Colin Smith wrote, "Loss of confidence in the existence of truth is the single most destructive force in our postmodern society." Loss of confidence in the existence of truth. You see, the devil is an expert at attacking the truth. And in this postmodern day in which we live, this day where there are very few absolutes and where people are questioning the truth as never before, we see that pattern affecting our families and destroying the fiber of our nation. People are no longer taking God at His word, and the loss of confidence in truth is a destructive force in our lives today. Well, that battle has been raging for thousands of years. And I want you to notice in your notes this morning that Satan questions the truth. Satan is the great questioner of the truth of God. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we learn about the first family. God created Adam and God created Eve, and He created them in His own image. He performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden. He brought Eve to Adam, and Adam looked at Eve and he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." And Adam and Eve were doing great. They were happily married. They were doing real well. One day, the Bible says that a subtle serpent came to Eve. That serpent was none other than Satan himself. By the way, Satan is always very subtle. He's not going to come to you and say, "Hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to destroy your marriage, make your children hate you, make you file bankruptcy, and get you out of church." Satan's not going to say that to you. He's going to be very subtle in his approach. He might even send someone spiritual along to try to persuade you against the will of God. But I want you to notice this morning what happened in Genesis 3. It says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He begins to question what God had said. Now, those of you who've ever read the book of Genesis, you know the story. There was one tree that God said, "You're not going to take of this tree." It was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And He said to Adam and Eve, "You can have all the other trees, but of this tree, you're not going to eat." It was God's one commandment for them. Well, the Bible says that Satan began to question that one commandment. And in fact, in Genesis 3:4, he says to Adam, and he says to Eve rather, "If you partake of this fruit, you shall not surely die." He says there's no consequence. You can disobey God, Eve, and nothing is going to happen. Well, the first lie was told, and the first lie was believed, and the Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned when they transgressed against the Word of God, and that sin passed upon all men. Adam and Eve were the federal heads of this human race, and when they sinned, their sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's why when Jesus describes Satan in John chapter 8 and verse 44, at the end of that verse, you'll notice that He says of Satan, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, folks, this is very elementary, but mark it down by way of introduction this morning. Satan is a liar. Let's say that together. Satan is a liar. Whatever truth God gives, then Satan's going to come along and twist it. He's going to come along and deny it. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan questions the truth. He has been plotting against the truth. God gives His truth. Satan will invent other religions, philosophies, anything and everything to draw men away from God's revealed truth. Well, not only is Satan questioning the truth, but let me say this. Unbelieving cultures are changing the truth. And we're living in a day when once Christian nations are now changing and twisting the truth. And it's not just in America. It's happened elsewhere in the world's history. Isaiah spoke to the children of Israel in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, and he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now think of that phrase. People who call evil good and good evil. And we see that happening in America. We see people describing all forms of perversion as just natural and good, and hey, it doesn't hurt anybody else. And we hear people calling sin an alternative lifestyle. We hear people referring to drunkenness as the disease of alcoholism. And we hear people talking about thievery as economic determinism. And we have people today redefining what is right and what is wrong. And we're living in a day when many are changing the truth about what is right and what is wrong. Now, God gave a real description of that in the former Gentile, ancient Gentile world. And in Romans chapter 1, he spoke about it. And in verse 25, notice what he says in your notes. He says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another." God says, you know what? He said they took the truth and they turned it into a lie. And instead of worshiping the Creator, they worshiped the creature. My friend, are you aware of the fact that there are many spiritual houses, many religious houses today that get more excited about Earth Day than they do about Resurrection Day? Many Christians today who wouldn't think one time about standing up for the right of an unborn child, but they would gladly demonstrate to save a whale. I'm telling you that right and wrong is all messed up today. Right and wrong is rapidly diminishing in the hearts and minds of many Americans today. Why? Because Satan fights the truth, and he has been plotting against the truth since the beginning of time. Jesus says, "I am the way." Satan says, "Oh, there's lots of ways." You see, there is a plot against the truth of God from Satan himself. Well, I want you to see this secondly this morning, the pattern of truth rejectors. We're going to come back to Satan fighting against God's truth, but let's look specifically at our text this morning, which says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And I want you to realize that while there are those who reject God's truth outright concerning Christ, that there are people who believe Christ, they believe His Word, generally speaking, but still they get involved in what the Bible calls here bearing false witness. Now, what are the patterns of truth rejectors that we can see in the Bible this morning? I want to give you four very quickly. First of all, a truth rejector resists scriptural truth. This is a person that resists what the Bible says. I have a friend who pastors a church in the Philippines, and there in Cebu City, on the side of the church, is a sign that says, "What the Bible says." And you can get into a taxi cab in Cebu City, and you can tell the cab driver, "Take me to a church that tells me what the Bible says." And the taxi drivers always know where to go. They take you to Bible Baptist Church. It's the church that says what the Bible says. By the way, that's a good way for a church to be known. It's not what the denomination says. It's not what the commander says. It's not what some person thinks. We are here today to learn what the Bible says. What the Bible says. Now, here, notice, if you would, Jesus standing before Pilate, John 18:37. "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now capture that. Jesus said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." On one occasion, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And when you are a child of God, you'll know His voice. But look what Pilate says to him. "Pilate answered and saith unto him, What is truth?" What is truth? You see, those who have been to maybe a few too many comparative religion classes, those who have found themselves wandering here and there spiritually, come to a place of agnosticism where they express what Pilate has expressed here. You know, there's probably some truth out there, but who can really know it? What is truth? I mean, you have Mohammedans, you have Buddhists, you have Baptists, you have Catholics, you've got all this stuff. But what is the truth? And because it is difficult at the first to look at it, many people kind of do what Pilate did, and they wash their hands of the whole thing, and they kind of resist really delving in and finding out for themselves the truth about Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, I want you to listen to the last portion of today's message so that you might know what it really means to have a relationship with Him. But some people resist the truth, spiritually speaking. Then there are those, secondly, that reject personal truth. This is specifically to the text, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This is not so much rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that someone knows the truth about a matter or about a person, but they reject that truth because they want to do harm to that person, or they prefer to make themselves look better in a given situation. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Now, there are those who imagine evil. There are those who have a heart that rejects the truth and seeks to persuade men in a different way. Sometimes we might wonder, why is it that some people will reject the truth? And why is it that some people stir things up in an untruthful way? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons people reject the truth. First of all, some people will do this to get revenge. They know that what they're saying is not true about someone. They know that that person is not intrinsically an evil person, but they want to discredit that person. They want to get revenge against that person. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Some people want revenge. Some people will reject the truth to make a profit. I mean, they know that that speedometer has gone over to 350,000 miles. But, you know, they can make a few more $1,000 if they say it's only spun over once, and they'll reject the truth for a profit. Some people will reject the truth to escape punishment. They want to escape punishment. How many of you growing up, your mother or father grabbed a belt or a board or the leg off of a chair or something nearby, and your hand was in the proverbial cookie jar and they were coming your way, and to avoid punishment, you sort of twisted the truth a little bit to make things look better. How many of you? All right, several of you are honest, several of you are not, but this is a message about truth, and there will be an altar call at the end. Some people resist the truth and reject the truth to get revenge. Some people to make a profit. Some to escape punishment. They deny that they were involved. They will not admit their culpability. They don't want to have anything to do with that accusation. Some people reject the truth to impress others. In other words, they, instead of just being outright truthful about their credentials, they want to make things seem a little better than they really are. I heard about two men who were out fishing. They were out in the middle of the lake. They came close to one another, and they're sitting there in their boats talking to one another. And they began to talk about where they had fished and what they had caught. And one man, he kind of really got into it. He said, well, I'll tell you, he said, the biggest thing I ever caught, he said, I was up in Alaska, and I started pulling on that line, and I pulled and pulled. He said, I pulled all day, and I caught a 300-pound salmon. He said, why? He said, trying to get that thing in the boat, it was almost impossible. But he said, I finally got it in. And man, he had a story and a half telling this fellow about his 300-pound salmon. Well, the guy he was talking to, he thought, how do you beat that? And he's sitting in his boat, and he said, well, I'll tell you one thing that did happen to me. He said, one time I was pulling away, and I pulled something up out of the water, and he said it was a lantern. And he said the lantern on the bottom of it said made in 1912, but he said what was amazing about the lantern was that it was water sealed, it was watertight, and he said the bulb was still glowing in the lantern. The first man for a long time didn't say a thing. Thought about it. He said, look, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 200 pounds off my salmon if you'll take the light out of your lantern. You ever around somebody, I mean, they reject the personal truth about a matter for whatever reason. They just can't get on the right page. USA Today had a poll recently which said that 90% of teenagers said if they could, they would cheat on their exams in school, and which said that 67% of all people tell casual little lies throughout the week and 37% serious lies throughout their week. Rejecting personal truth. I want you to notice a third category of people. There are those who resist biblical truth. There are those who reject the personal truth. And there are those who rearrange presented truth. Now that's what the Bible speaks of here in the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. They rearrange what they know to be true. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. In other words, when someone has something going on in their heart, it's like almost impossible to say anything good or nice about someone. They've just got to pour out evil things. And we see here that they rearrange the truth. They rewrite history. They are revisionists concerning the truth. Now, let me give you three ways that people do this, that they rearrange the truth and bear false witness. First of all, just speaking falsely about a matter. And it happens like this all the time. I've changed the names to protect the innocent, but it goes something like this. It goes like this. Sam is really angry at Heather because Heather wouldn't go bowling with him. And so Sam goes to work on Monday and he finds Joe and he says to Joe, "Hey, watch out for Heather, and whatever you do, don't trust Heather." All of a sudden, Joe is treating Heather differently. Heather doesn't really know why. She feels badly. And the worst part is that Sam never went to Heather to make resolution of the situation. He just went to Joe. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, whether that's at your workplace by the water cooler or whether that's in your neighborhood or even at a church, it never feels good to have someone playing those word games. You might say all day long, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." And that's a lie. And people every day have their hearts hurt because of those who insist on speaking falsely, whether on their internet or face to face. Then there are those that are just involved in malicious accusation. I mean, they just thrive on this. They just literally thrive on accusing and saying things, normally not to the face of a person, but just around and about. Then there are those that are involved in outright slander. Slander is when we intentionally tell a falsehood with an intention to harm someone's reputation. That's the whole idea. We're going to say something to harm someone's reputation. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Now, this was common in the Bible. I think about Joseph, a godly and an upright man, and Potiphar's wife in the land of Egypt grabbed him by the coat and tried to seduce him sexually. And Joseph ran away and left his coat in her hand. She turned around, took the coat, showed it to her husband and said, "Joseph tried to rape me." And we see in that situation an attempt to slander the life of Joseph. We think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher, to say the least. John the Baptist preached one day about Herod living in adultery. And he pointed his finger in the face of the king and preached against his sin. And for that he was placed in prison as a rebel rouser and ultimately beheaded because he would not compromise his message. But I think above those of the Lord Jesus himself. You know, Jesus Christ was often slandered. And I want you to notice in your notes, Luke 7:34. The Bible says, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Now here we see the Lord Jesus Christ being called a winebibber. Being called a gluttonous man. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And what always interests me in the New Testament about those that slandered Jesus, it was always the religious crowd. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were incensed by Jesus' popularity. They wished he would go away. They didn't want him to attract these crowds. And so they slandered him in this way. D. James Kennedy says, "Slander is often the product of envy. When we are jealous of others' popularity, his success or capabilities, we sometimes slander them in an attempt to make ourselves look good."
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves, which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcast, and you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748, or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.